These past several weeks have pushed us into a lifestyle that is unfamiliar to us. Those things that we did on a daily basis, we're simply not doing now. Our schedules have been turned upside down. For many, our lives have been put on hold. I'll be honest with you, there are times when I don't even know what day of the week it is. It just seems that one day blends into the next, and it's hard to tell the difference. Now, I think I've always known that I was a creature of habit, but lately I've discovered something about myself I wasn't aware of. I really don't like change. I know I've often used that old line, the only person that likes change is a wet baby, but I'm finding that I'm one of those that does not like change. But this pandemic has demonstrated there's something people dislike even more than change, and that is uncertainty. Human beings are usually quite adaptable to change, but we don't deal well with uncertainty. I think that if we had been told from the beginning, if we would quarantine ourselves for 2 weeks or maybe 4 weeks, and then we get back to life, we would have been okay with that. Some might have even thought, hey, this is a bit of a vacation. But then it dragged into 6 weeks and then 8 weeks, and the deadlines keep going further and further out. And I'm not so sure that we won't see them extended even more. There was a study this last week that suggested the United States should continue its social distancing until 2022. We just don't know how long this is going to last. And that has produced a lot of anxiety, fear, and stress for a number of people. We're having a hard time coping with the uncertainty of our situation. Now, I wish I could tell you when these circumstances would change, when we could get back to work, get back to church, get back to life. But I can't. I don't know. I'd like to alleviate the anxiety and stress many of you have regarding your health, your jobs, your future. But I don't know what the future holds. But one thing I can do is offer unchanging truth in these uncertain times. In the storms of life, we need an anchor that's going to hold us fast. And we see in Scripture, Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. And that's what we need. We need hope. We need an assurance that things are going to be all right. We need something that doesn't change in the midst of all of these changes. When we've lost our way on the stormy sea of life, we need to, in the words of Max Lucado, set our bearings on the one and only North Star in our universe, and that's God. For though life changes, He never does. So over the next several weeks, I would like to focus on unchanging truth in uncertain times. And it all deals with God. We are going to see that God's personality, His purpose, His power, His passion, His promises, and His providence never change. In theological terms, this is called God's immutability. You say, what is that? Well, it's defined as unalterable, not subject to change, the state of ongoing existence without change. Now, my goal is not just to teach dusty theology that Bible scholars can debate and discuss. I really want to provide hope. I want to do what Linus did in that classic comic strip, Peanuts. In one particular strip, Linus and his sister Lucy are looking out the window at a torrential rainstorm. And Lucy says, boy, look at it rain. What if it floods the whole world? And Linus replies, it will never do that. In the 9th chapter of Genesis, God promised Noah that it would never happen again, and the sign of that promise is a rainbow. Lucy smiles and says, you've taken a great load off of my mind. To which Linus replies, sound theology has a way of doing that. And that's my hope today. I hope that I can take a great load off of your mind. No, I can't tell you when you can get back to work and come back to church and get back to life. But I can tell you that in these uncertain times, there is some unchanging truth. And God Himself does not change. And I think we can find comfort in that truth. So let's begin with the certainty of God's changeless character. How do we know that God is still the same? Simply put, Scripture says so, definitively. In the very last book of the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi says in Malachi 3:6, "I am the Lord, I do not change." There it is, pure and simple. God Himself says it, "I don't change." Another version renders it, "I am the Lord, unchanging." He never alters in His character. He is dependable. He never vacillates. There's nothing wishy-washy about God. Jen Wilkin, in her book, None Like Him, calls the chapter on immutability the God of infinite sameness. I like that. God is infinitely the same. He never changes. We see this in Psalm 102, beginning in verse 25. It contrasts the changing nature of creation with the changeless character of its creator. I'd like to read it out of the New Living Translation. Speaking to God, "Long ago you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will change them like a garment and discard them, but you are always the same. You will live forever." The one who identifies himself as the Lord is the unchanging one. God is dependable. What he was in the past is a clue to what he is now and what he will be in the future. There is utter consistency in God's dealings with men. He does not change. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Probably familiar words to many of you. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." You've heard those words, haven't you? We've sung them. That great hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." In one of the verses, it says, "Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be." Isn't it great to know that God does not change? He is faithful. Not only will He not change, He cannot change. It is impossible for Him to change. God never changes. His character does not change. And when we say this about God, it applies to all three persons of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit all share the divine attributes, and immutability is one of those. And so we read in James 1:17 that the Father of lights does not change like shifting shadows. Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, the great name of God in the Old Testament, Yahweh, literally means "I am that I am," and that never changes. He is the unchangeable one. He will never change direction midstream. He'll never recalibrate the course midway home. He never amend the heavenly constitution. God is always the same. Now, you can't say that about anybody else. Lovers will call you one day and scorn you the next. Companies follow pay raises with pink slips. Friends applaud you when you drive a classic car, and they dismiss you if you drive a dud. But God never does. God never changes. It's a theological fact. It is stated clearly in the Scriptures. That's something you can build on. So let's do that. Let's build on that to see the connotations of God's changeless character. What does this mean in practical terms? And I'd like to share an extended quote from A.W. Tozer's book, The Knowledge of the Holy. To say that God is immutable is to say that he never differs from himself. The concept of a growing or developing God is simply not found in Scripture. For a moral being to change, it would be necessary for him to change in one of three directions. He must go from better to worse, or from worse to better, or granted that the moral quality remains stable, he must change within himself, as from miniature to mature, or from one order of being to another. It should be clear that God can move in none of these directions. His perfections forever rule out such a possibility. God cannot change for the better. Since he is perfectly holy, he has never been less holy than he is now and can never be holier than he is and always has been. Neither can God change for the worse. Any deterioration in the unspeakably holy nature of God is impossible. Indeed, I think it is impossible to even think such a thing. For the moment we attempt to do so, the object we are thinking about is no longer God. He may be a great and awesome creature, but because he's a creature, he cannot be the self-existent creator. As there can be no mutation in the moral character of God, neither is there in the divine essence. The being of God is unique in the only proper meaning of that word. That is, his being is other than and different from every other being. He is self-existent, self-sufficient, and eternal. By virtue of these attributes, God is God and not some other being. One who can suffer any slightest degree of change is neither self-existent, self-sufficient, nor eternal. Therefore, they're not God. Only a being composed of parts may change, for change is basically a shift in the relation of parts, or the admission of some foreign element to the original composition. Since God is self-existent, he's not made up of a multitude of parts. There are no parts in him to be altered. And as he is self-sufficient, nothing can enter his being from without. By his very nature, God is unchangeable. And because God cannot change, he'll never get better or he'll never get worse. He will never go back on his word. He remains always the same. Now, contrast that to us. We are born physically, intellectually, and emotionally weak. As newborns, we are truly helpless, completely dependent upon others for our survival. But it doesn't last forever. In time, we grow physically, we grow taller, we grow stronger, our coordination increases. We are able to speak and communicate. We not only grow physically, but we grow intellectually. We're able to learn new things and incorporate those new things into our lives. We grow emotionally. Now, at some point, probably in our teens or 20s, our physical growth stops. Well, maybe I should say our growth in height stops. Some of us grow in other ways that we may not want. But at some point, we stop growing taller. And that plateaus for a number of years. At another point, hopefully later than when our physical growth plateaus, our intellectual growth pretty much plateaus. Now we can always be learning, but the scale to which we are learning, the growth curve of our intellectual learning will eventually level off as well. And as we advance into our elderly years, we even see it start to decline. Physically, we can literally shrink. We can grow shorter. Our strength diminishes. Our coordination can become less. Mentally, we may forget things easier. We may not be able to call things to mind as quickly. We may be able to formulate our words like we once did. We become more and more dependent upon others. I remember a lady from my first church back in Winchester, Virginia. She had a saying, once a man, twice a child. And at first I really didn't know what she meant by that. But what she meant was that we begin life as children and dependent upon others. In the middle part of our lives, we're somewhat sufficient in ourselves to do for ourselves, but then often at the end, we go back to being like a child, where we have to be cared for. Our basic needs must be met by somebody else because we're not able to. Our lives continually change. We're not the same person that we were 10, 20, 30 years ago. And if we are to live 5, 10, 20 years from now, we won't be the same as we are now. We are constantly changing. But God never does. God never changes. And we can count on that. We can live our lives with that assurance. God does not change. Times change. Circumstances change. Expectations change. People change. We change. But God never does. The one whose will seems often confusing and mysterious is faithful to the end, consistently and immutably the same. Strange as it may seem, our God stays faithful, constant, and ever-present in and over our lives, even when we cannot sense His presence, even when we question His plan, even when we've disobeyed Him, when we've royally blown it and are suffering the consequences. God is still the same. And that brings us to our last thought, the comfort of God's changeless character. Consider how comforting it is to be personally connected to a God who never changes. From the Old Testament to the New, He is the same. None of His attributes increase or decrease. He is unchangeably infinite. His knowledge cannot increase or decrease. His faithfulness never increases or decreases. Now, our actions, good or bad, can neither add nor diminish to His glory. It stays the same. He cannot be more holy or less steadfast. He is all these things to the utmost forever. The God who was is the God who is. The God who is the God who is to come. And the God who is to come is the God who was. There is no change. And what peace it brings to the Christian's heart to realize this. In coming to Him at any time, we don't have to wonder what kind of mood we'll find Him in. We don't have to worry that He may have gotten up on the wrong side of the bed. He is always receptive to us. He doesn't keep office hours. He doesn't set aside times where He won't see anyone. He doesn't change His mind about anything. This very moment, He thinks exactly the same as He did as when the Scriptures were written. And that will never change. He doesn't change His moods. He doesn't cool off in His affections. He doesn't lose enthusiasm. God cannot be compromised. He cannot be coaxed. He cannot be persuaded to alter His word. He can't be talked into answering selfish prayers. In all our efforts to find God, to please Him, to commune with Him, we should remember that all change must be on our part because I, the Lord, do not change. In fact, I'd like to go back to that passage that I mentioned earlier from Malachi 3:6 and read the whole verse. I only read the first half. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Because God does not change, His promises do not change, and we can take comfort in that fact. God had said from the very beginning, I will never completely wipe out my people. And even though they deserved it, even though they were being punished, God never wiped them out. He always preserved a remnant. And it's because of God's changeless character that we can be certain of our future. We may not know what our immediate future holds, but we know what our ultimate future holds because God does not change. Another comforting passage on God's changeless character is found in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Some scholars believe this may have been an early hymn It may have been the predecessor to Greatest Life Faithfulness. I'm not sure. It's written in verse form that way. And I have to admit, when I first read this passage, I had to reread the last verse because I could not believe what I was seeing. Verse 11 begins, "Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." You see why I had to reread that last verse? Because it seemed to be going in a logical sequence. If we died with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we'll reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. So you would think when it says, if we are faithless, well, he'll be faithless too. Oh no, he remains faithful. Why? Because God doesn't change. He can't deny himself. He remains faithful even when we are faithless. Remember earlier I said that God is still the same even when we've disobeyed him, even when we've royally blown it and are suffering the consequences? Someone who knew all about that was the prophet Jeremiah. Earlier I read from his book, Lamentations, chapter 3, words of great hope. But do you know the context in which those words appear? The name of the book, Lamentations, itself means sad songs, funeral songs. And it's a very sad book. These five chapters, you might say, were written in a minor key. The tone is very sorrowful. You almost need a box of Kleenex when you read these pages. There's very little hope, very little joy, very little peace. But right in the middle of the book, the key changes. The tone changes. And I'd like to read those verses I read earlier in a larger context. Beginning in verse 19 of Lamentations 3, Jeremiah says, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me." That's a phrase you often find in the Old Testament. You see it in the Psalms several times. My soul is downcast within me. That was the ancient way of saying, I'm depressed. "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." There's the key change. We're about to see a glimmer of hope in this hopeless situation. And that's where we read those familiar words. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. "I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Amidst all of the uncertainty, amidst all of the calamity of Jeremiah's day, he found hope. Where did he find that hope? In the changeless character of God. He does not change. His compassions do not change. His character does not change. His promises are still the same. Therefore, we have hope. If we remember this, it will help us in our hour of trial. It can even help us in the face of death, because we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not life, not death. Not any kind of virus, not any kind of job loss or economic downturn. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, because he does not change. God is immutable. All that he ever was, he still is. And all that he was and all that he is, he always will be. What comfort this brings. How good it is to know that someone has a handle on this thing called life. That some things don't change. If God ever loved me, he loves me still. If God ever forgave me, He forgives me still. You say, but you don't know my life. You don't know how bad it has been. It doesn't matter. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses every and all sin. There is no sin too bad. There are no amount of sins too much that the blood of God cannot cleanse. If God ever promised something, the promise is still good. God has not changed, not one bit. And as 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful. Faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That promise is as true today as it was when John wrote it 2,000 years ago. And for however long this world continues, it'll still be true. God does not change. Maybe you've never heard that word immutable. Maybe you never knew what it meant. Simply put, God is still the same as He always was, and He will never change. Isn't that good to know? Doesn't that bring us hope and peace and joy that we need so desperately in these uncertain times? We are so changeable. Other people are changeable. Circumstances are changeable, but our God is not. We can absolutely be certain that the everlasting God is still the same. Yes, it's theology, but it's a most practical and comforting theology. I hope this truth has taken a great load off of your mind. Sound theology has a way of doing that. Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this comforting truth that You do not change. We thank You that Your character is the same. Your promises are the same. We can rely on You when we can't rely on anything else around us. You are always there for us. I pray that this truth would bring hope and comfort and peace into our lives, and that we can share that with others who need this unchanging truth in these uncertain times. So I pray that You would help us communicate that to those we know. It's in Christ's name that we pray.